So Jesus is coming back one day. I don't know if you know that. Jesus is coming back. Thank you, Jeff, for that. He is coming back. And I want you to understand, not like in a spiritual sense, like a theoretical, sort of like the ethic of Jesus is coming back. No, I'm talking about like Jesus, like flesh and blood, walked around in this earth, coming back. And what Christians believe is that when Jesus comes back, he is ushering into this world a brand new world. With his coming, the whole world is going to be remade. This world is going to be made pure and right and whole. It's going to be a world that's at peace because at the center of that world is the God of peace. I mean, it's just cool to even just think about what a pure and right and good world is going to be like. I mean, it's the easy stuff, right? No injustice, no suffering. I'm talking about the way the Bible talks about it is not just like we're going to go to a place where just clouds and harps everywhere. No, like the world that you see around us, like this world, we're going to be in this world, except it's going to be made perfect. It's going to be the way it should be. So like no potholes, right? I mean, it's just cool to think about. I mean, maybe there's no traffic jam. We know that for sure, right? Maybe all our sports teams wins. Yes, that's what I would hope for, right? I mean, it's going to be a great world. It's going to come when Jesus comes again. It's going to be held together and stay together because God is going to be at the center of that world. This God, as this passage says, this God of peace will have with him his people, God's people. That's called the church in the Bible. That's the people of God, God's church. It's a people who it's you, it's me, it's any people who have believed in God and specifically believed in the one he sent to save us and the one who's coming back for us, the one I've been talking about, Jesus. That is what we're headed towards. That's where all things are headed towards. And in the passage that we look at this morning, this benediction, blessing, God's good word to us, is like a lot of benedictions, functions as a prayer. What we'll be doing this morning is sort of looking at this prayer that's kind of geared towards that future time. So Paul is praying this blessing to help orient us towards what we will be like when the God of peace comes and Jesus returns and the world is made brand new, the kind of people that we will be. And so we want to spend some time thinking about the kind of people that we will be when that time comes. Then also, I want you to see the guarantee that's attached to this expectation. This prayer of expectation, here's the kind of people that we're going to be, but a guarantee that we will eventually be that kind of people, that we can know for sure we will be that kind of people. So let's start with what kind of people will we be in that future time? And the answer is that we will be holy. We will be holy. This is what you can expect. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That word sanctify is the word the Bible uses, and it's the word to describe the process of making us holy. So what he's talking about, the expectation of how this process of sanctifying is the process of holifying us, making us completely holy. So those of you who were with us last week, I mean, this is similar to what we talked about last week. And I'll mention some similar things. Because, I don't know if you know this, like when the Bible repeats something, it's like the Bible is saying, like, I want you to really pay attention to this, right? Same way like your parents repeat certain things to you. The Bible here intentionally sort of repeats some themes that it mentioned earlier in this book. And so it's worth us sort of rehearsing that again. It wants us to really get this, to know this, to expect this for us as God's people. If you're a believer, you've trusted in God and in Jesus. Here's what you should be knowing and always remembering and expecting. So we talked about how when we believe in God, and specifically when we believe in Jesus, we become part of God's people. God's people, by definition, are set apart for God. The word holy literally means set apart. So to be holy is to be set apart for God. But I want you to understand, it's one thing to be set apart for God. So here's God, and we are sort of pulled up and set apart for him. We were first a part of this world and all the things that are broken and ugly about this world, this is what we were part of. To be part of God's holy people is to be brought up to where God is, and now we are set apart for him. We are his holy people. But understand, it's one thing to have that position, right, of being part of his people, being set apart for him. It's another thing to act and live in ways that go along with that position. Get what I'm getting at? Like, so we no longer are down here where the rest of the world is and the systems of the world and the operations of the world and the way it forms our habits and our desires. We are positionally where God is, part of his holy people, but sometimes we still act like we're down there. And so the process, the sanctifying process that God puts us through is to help us be like where we now are. Remember the illustration I used last week? My son Marcel, as you heard, he signed on to the Marines in the eyes of the government. I mean, he's taken the vow to serve and protect our country. So in the eyes of the government, he's part of the Marines. But for the Marine Corps, he's not yet fully a Marine. They have a process called boot camp by which he is formed to become fully a Marine, to know what it is to act and operate as a Marine, as part of the Marine Corps. You might say boot camp, in a sense, is meant to sanctify him so that through that sanctifying process, a hard process, but necessary one, through boot camp, he will come out on the other side acting like a Marine. So when you believe in Jesus, you belong to God's people. That means you should see yourself as holy, as set apart for God. The big theological term people have used for this is it's called positional sanctification. So those words just mean positionally, you are there, part of God's people, sanctified. However, to live as God's people, what does it mean to live as God's, specifically God's holy people? To live righteously, to live in good ways, to live in pure ways. That's a process. And so the term people often use is progressive sanctification. So the words mean what you think they mean. Positionally, we're part of the core, God's holy people, but there's a process by which we then become like we have been made to be. Progressive sanctification is a process by which God is making us into what he's already designated us to be. So Paul's prayer here is that this would happen. God, over the course of our lives, that he would just work on us and keep working on us so that we would fully be what we have been meant, what we've been called to be, what we've been designated to be, God's holy people when Jesus returns. That means it does matter that we live like believers, that we act as believers. It's not okay for us to say, well, I've signed on, I can do whatever I want to do. And similar to in the Marine Corps, Marcel tells me, like, one of the worst things is to sort of sign on to the Marine Corps, take the vows, and not make it through boot camp, to wash out, to leave, right? It's dishonorable, right? To say I'm going to commit to this and not follow through on it is I mean, it's a big loss. Even more so for us, for the amazing reality of what it means to be part of God's holy people. You understand that? Like, the significance of the fact that God right now has called you to himself. Right now, you are as close to God as any, more close to God than any creature on this planet. And God is saying, and I just want you to understand it, and I'm going to work on you to make this process, the fact where you are right now, to make that a reality in your life so that every part of you is holy in line with how I've already called you to be. So it matters. It matters that we care about what happens over the course of our life. It matters that we take seriously the process of being what you have been called to be, God's holy people. So, and even just what I just said there, this sort of moves us into the thing I want to especially bring out for this sort of relook at this idea of being made into God's holy people. So let's add this on to all the things that we said last week and this week, is understanding just God's involvement to make this a complete process, like a holistic, like every part of you. The prayer here emphasizes our complete sanctification. So verse 23, so this is like new info, right? that we can sort of add even more to this understanding of what it is that God is making us more and more like him, till we are fully like him. He's doing this completely. Verse 23, sanctify you completely. So not 25%, not 50%, not 75%, 100% sanctified, 100% holy. Specifically, it means this, continuing on in that verse, your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. So no guilt, no shame in any part of you. The end, when Jesus comes and the whole world is remade, we will be blameless, fully worthy, fully accepted before God. And notice that the language that's used to describe just sort of all of what will be part, all of who we will be when that happens. The fact that this is done completely, that fact this is done wholly. It's spirit, soul, and body. And body. So spirit and soul, those are two words that I think just really refer to the same thing, the immaterial part of yourself. Just two words to say the same thing. That part of yourself that we don't see, right? Sort of your personality and your being, all that within you, right? That's that part of ourselves will be sanctified. But it's not just that. Also the physical part of ourself will be sanctified, will be made holy. Our body. You know, when we think of, like, I'm a holy person, like, this person's, this idea of just being holy, often we think of it more spiritual, right? And there's a huge spiritual dimension to it, right? The ways in which our spiritual sides will be fully reflecting God. But it's not just that. And the thing to just sort of add on to this, the cool thing to think about is how holiness is also going to include our bodies. In this physical sense, your body, my body, your believer will function in perfectly good and righteous ways. And that's just a cool thread to pull. And that's something I encourage you to talk about. Like, it's cool to think about what it would be for my body even to be good and righteous. I mean, it means that there's no part of your life, spiritual or physical, that's lacking. It means that there's no part of your life, spiritual or physical, that's going to let you down. It means that in your spiritual sense, but even in your physical sense, you will be tuned into God. Like even your reflexes, right, will be geared towards the things that God wants, things that you feel, the taste that you like, all of it perfectly aligned with His will, all of it perfectly responding to Him, all of it perfectly living in accordance to the God to whom you've been set apart. That's what we can expect for ourselves. That's what we can look forward to. And, you know, I think this is the kind of thing to remember, especially now, as I think right now a lot of us are thinking about the future. I mean, I think every day we read lots of articles about, like, here's what's going to happen. And if sometimes it changes from week to week. Sometimes people contradict themselves, right? And look, I have much grace for that. There are a lot of people trying to figure out different things. But because so many different sort of ideas about what's going to happen and what to expect this month, what's going to happen in fall semester, what's going to happen next year. People react in all sorts of different ways, right? So some of us have hoarded a lot of food and toilet paper. Others are worried about one world nations and chips in our skin. let me just say this. I'm sympathetic to a lot of why we think a lot about the future and why we're worried about a lot of different things. However, if you're a Christian, you don't have the You can't just worry in any which way. What I mean is that the Bible actually does say, if you're going to be thinking about the future, if you're going to be expecting certain things, here's where to start. Here's where to be thinking about, first and foremost, because that frames everything else that we should be thinking about, worrying about. It begins to shape what we think and worry about, which makes us more like God's holy people. So if we're going to be thinking about the future, if we're going to be wondering, expecting what's to happen, can we at least start here? Jesus is coming back. He's coming, and when He comes, the God of peace, the holy God, is bringing peace and righteousness, and we, His people, will be there, fully complete, fully made like Him, completely sanctified, 100% holy and blameless. Think about the difference that makes if, like, you're thinking, that's what I'm expecting, and I'm getting closer and closer to that time. Think about how that frames the uncertainties of life, especially now, the worries about life, especially now, the disagreements about life, especially now. Whatever they may be, the one thing you can know for sure if you're a believer is that this will eventually happen. That this is what God is doing, bringing us to that time. This is the prayer that you can pray and know God's going to answer. Like, how can I know God's going to answer my prayers? Like, the Bible gives you a whole bunch of them that pray this, like, you know this is going to happen. This is one of them. Pray that God would sanctify you completely, that He would keep your whole spirit, soul, and body blameless. Here's what we should expect. Then let's sort of look now at what I mentioned earlier, the guarantee that's attached to this. The fact that we can know for sure that this will happen. And we find the guarantee in the rest. We see the first part, the first sort of, let me put it this way. There's two different ways of looking at this guarantee. We see it in verse 23, and then we see another way of looking at it in verse 24. The first way to think about this guarantee is based on this fact, that God himself is invested in us. God himself is invested in this process of making us holy. Verse 23 just says it right there. Now may the God of peace himself, may the God of peace himself. Many of you know the Bibles that we have are in English, but the original language in which it was written was Greek. If we were able to look at that, what you would see, the Greek language has ways of emphasizing certain things. So when you see that word himself, it's almost like the Greek text is putting it in bold and capital letters. It's when we're making a point. They didn't have to put himself there, but the Bible puts it there, and I think our English sort of reflects this, but I want to really emphasize, like, the Bible wants us to really understand that this is a personal investment, personal project of God, that he's got his hands on what he's doing on in your life. God's not outsourced this. He could have. He could have delegated this. He could have been like, you know, Gabriel, Michael, I got some other things to do. Can you make sure my people, the church, get sanctified? And angels would be like, yep, we got it, God, right? And they would have done it, right? And that would have worked. Not in this case. It's not what he's done here. When it comes to making us like God, holy, set apart, God's personally involved. He's directly involved in each and every single life. Think about the countless believers all through the ages. Every single one of them, God himself has been involved in making them to be what he's called them to be. Every single one. That God, I mean, the reason we know this is because God, when we believe in God, when you trust in Jesus, God comes to live with us. God, the Spirit specifically, comes, is within us. So it means, like, you should see God as, like, at the front lines of what's going on in your life. He's right there. God's like the personal handyman who's not left, but he's involved in the project that is your life. Body, soul, and spirit. He's involved in the project to make you holy, make you more like him. He's using the Bible to demolish the selfishness in your life and instead attach on huge wings and rooms of generosity. He's the handyman who sees the cracks in your life of anxiety and worry, and he's filling those cracks in with his peace. He's the God who's removed the foundation. You thought your house, your life was going to fall apart, but you realize he was actually putting something better as the foundation. His love, the love of God in Jesus, so that you might never be separated. In fact, that your whole life can be built around it. That's what he's doing, like, this hour. He's doing it. Like, God doesn't take vacations. He doesn't need to sleep. Right? He doesn't need to eat. So he's always on the job. He's always working. And because it's himself doing it, that's the guarantee here. Because this is the kind of God that he is, right? The guarantee is that it's himself doing it. And because it's himself doing it, this is sort of brings in the second thing I want to point out that makes us especially confident that we can expect him to complete this project, is the nature of who God is. God is a God who always follows through in his investments. God's personally involved, invested in your life, and he's faithful, which means he's always going to follow through in his investment, on his involvement in your life. Look at verse 24. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He's faithful. That means he's reliable. It means he follows through on his promises. He always follows through on his promises. He keeps his word. He can't help but keep his word. God's people are going to be saved. They're going to be made completely holy and blameless because God is faithful. He does not quit on the job. He's not distracted. He doesn't give up. He doesn't complain. He's not whiny. He loves to do this and is personally involved in doing this. And he's a God who never lets up and once he sets his mind to something. And he has set his mind on making sure your life gets to that end point, holy and blameless. And you understand, like, this is very good for us because it means that, you know, as you're thinking about your life and what you want your life to be and what God is saying can eventually be, it means that what matters in all this especially is that God is behind it, right? God's faithfulness, his commitment to you. It matters even when your faithfulness wavers a bit. It's fortunate that it's not by our will or by our strength, but it's God's will and God's strength. And that gives us great confidence. That's a huge guarantee. I mean, imagine a child holding on to the hand of a parent. That child who's holding on to the hand of their parent sometimes doesn't hold on very strongly. Maybe initially they're holding on really strongly, but then they got distracted, right? They went by a Dave and Buster. Like, what was that, right? They're about to walk across the street. They get a little scared. There's all sorts of things that maybe cause that child to weaken their grasp or to pull away, or maybe they get angry. But as long as the parent is by that child and the child is by that parent, that child will never get lost. That child will never be in danger. The parent's grip matters the most. The child's got to hold on, but even if sometimes they waver, as long as that parent is holding on, that child won't get lost. That child will make it safely across the street. That child won't be pulled into the distraction of Dave and Buster. The child will get to where the parent wants him or her to get. It's no surprise the Bible talks about God as the Father. He's that parent, isn't he? It means that God being faithful means he's holding on to you with his infinite power. His infinite power. Now, interesting, we got to hold on to God. That's faith. We should hold on to God. We must hold on to God. Part of this process that I said, progressive sanctification, this process by which God is making us more and more holy, the way we grow in that is by growing in our faith, growing in our trust and dependence on God, being the kind of people who do really hold on to God. But because it's a process and it's progressive, it means that at times there's dips along the way. And that means there's times we waver, we're unsure, we get distracted. The guarantee you have this morning is that as long as you are by God, as long as his Spirit is in you, he will never let you go. He will never give up. He will never let you down. That even when you're tired and weak, he doesn't forget you, he doesn't fail you. He is the God who holds on, and because he's faithful, you will reach that wonderful end where everything around you is beautiful, and you're with a beautiful God and a beautiful people, holy and blameless. Because the Lord who called you to himself is faithful. He will surely do it. I don't believe in magic. Harry Potter. Those are fiction, right? That's not real. However, there are some verses in the Bible that for believers are almost like magic. What I mean by that is they are always true, right? They always happen, right? They always work. And I think this is one of those, like, it's like a magic verse. It's like the verse that you should memorize and pull out whenever you need it. It's the kind of verse that you should put on the home screen of your phone whenever you're facing a time you're most unsure. This is one of those verses. Don't forget it. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He who calls you, he's faithful. He's faithful. He's always faithful, which means he will surely do it. Do what? Make you good, make you pure, make you righteous, make you more secure in him. Make sure that you don't fall away from him. Make sure that you are safe from Satan's attacks and his distractions. Making sure that you will eventually defeat sin and temptation. As long as his Spirit is in you, as long as you're listening to him, as long as you're following after him, he will hold on to you. He is faithful. He will surely do it. So, to end here, I just want to say, obviously, the starting line for this is we got to believe in God, and specifically in Jesus. That's how we'll become part of the people of God, right? We believe in God, specifically in Jesus. But then, the encouragement I want to give you is that we continue to trust in this God, to trust in what he's doing in your life, in my life, by his Spirit, to trust him. Trust him by what? By listening to him, by obeying him, and know that God is taking care of everything else. We listen to him, we obey him, we may struggle in that. But the struggle still works to make us more like him as long as we struggle in his presence. So as we work out our salvation, that's a great verse, Philippians 2. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible tells us that it is God who is at work in us both to will and act according to his good purpose. He doesn't give up on us. He's always with us. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God is making us holy and blameless. That's what we can expect. And he's personally involved in it. That's the guarantee. Praise God, he is faithful. We know he will do it for sure. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for those, Lord, who need to hear that promise. One of the magic verses of the Bible that we should always remember. Lord, may they hear the words now. Lord, may me speaking it be like you saying it to them right now. You are faithful. You've called them to yourself. You are faithful. You will surely do it. So Lord, I pray that all those who are hearing my words now and need to hear this, especially would receive it. And then I pray, Lord God, it bears fruit in people's lives by committing to you, or by trusting in this process of sanctification, by having their eyes open to it, by leaning into it, by having their expectations and their concerns or the directions of their life that they're thinking through or worried about, but may it all be oriented towards that confident guarantee. May that shape the expectation they have for the future. May it shape my expectation, Lord God. I pray for the graduates, Lord. May they know that wherever they're headed towards and the things that they're about to accomplish, that all of this is part of the process by which you are making them God's holy people, so that you make them God's holy people as they operate as nurses, as they operate in the military, as they operate in business school, that you are going to help them be God's holy people more and more in those spaces. For those of us who are raising kids, Lord God, help us to be God's holy parents. Lord, for God, for those who are newlyweds, Lord, help them to be God's holy husband and God's holy wife in that marriage. For those of us who have been married a while, Lord, help us to be God's holy husband and holy wife. Or for those of us who are on staff, Lord, help us to be your holy staff. For those of us, Lord God, who are friends with lots of people, help us to be God's holy friends to those people, to represent you well in those spaces. Help us to be God's holy workers, Lord God. Help us to be God's holy children, for those who are children and have believed in you. In all those places, Lord, may we be your people now and more your people in the times to come, so that we might be fully your people in that day, knowing that you're behind it all. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you for that you do all things. It's your name we pray. Amen.